Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. Thank you for joining our show tonight. As most of you know by now, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts Kim and Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are guilty of making some of the same kinds of mistakes with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She's very good at sharing all the secrets she's learned in her relationships and in dealing with many, many men in many different environments. You're welcome to call in. We really, really would appreciate your call in. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. And tonight we're going to be talking about karmic lessons we're here on Earth to learn, what love can teach us. And it doesn't matter if you're stuck in a toxic cellmate relationship in which you're going to learn most of your karmic lessons through suffering, or if you're dying of boredom in a sitcom-type marriage, or living in bliss in a soulmate relationship. Each of these different versions of romantic love holds keys to your soul's evolution. Before we go on with tonight's show, I'm happy to announce we've had a woman request to be on our show next week. She's Marianne Camerato. She's been on every major talk show. She's a woman who has founded a leading nonprofit organization which is committed to changing the way our culture values women. And she has a new book called Hindsight, What You Need to Know Before You Drop Your Drawers.
I think I'll be listening very clearly to that one.
It outlines the
Is there a way that we can pre-order the book before it comes out for them?
I know. It outlines 14 critical questions to ask before you get intimate in a relationship. So she has requested to be on our show, which I think is amazing. She, you know, next week I'll give a little bit, you know, more what show she's been on, but she's a great speaker. She's, you know, just wonderful, and she's funny, and I think she's just going to add a lot to our show next week. So I know we'll all be looking forward to that, and I know that Kim has been on a mission to not sleep with anybody for the first 90 days of a relationship. So maybe some of what she has to say will help you in that, don't you think? Sounds fascinating. That's all I can tell you. But I was so happy that she contacted us. And anyway,
everything happens for a reason.
That's what I'm thinking. And so we're going to be talking about some of the things we can learn in relationships. And one of the things that we're going to begin to learn is that there are certain karmic principles, and when we're involved in a relationship, if we practice these karmic principles, it will help us learn the right lessons. I mean, we're learning a lot of lessons, sometimes not the right lessons. The right lessons are not all women suck or all men can't be trusted. Those are not the lessons that we're here to learn. So if we practice that first karmic principle, that from the moment cellmates, soulmates, or raises, edgemates meet and begin get involved, they're under karmic obligation to begin taking positive steps toward healing their issues both individually and mutually. So that means we're in a relationship, we're asked to heal. And one of the main relationships that we get involved in, or any of the main relationships, are there to teach us lessons. And if we're involved with a person, we're going to have to figure out what kind of relationship do we want? All relationships start out looking the same. They all start out looking like soulmate relationships, but it doesn't take long for it to show its other colors. And what's been channeled to me recently is that people do not want to keep relationships at soulmate level because soulmate levels demand such healing, and it means I have to be nice to you. I have to watch what I say, and I have to be a nice person, and I can't cheat on you, and I can't be mean, and I can't be sneaky, and I can't be a liar. And sometimes people don't want to be their higher self. So they either drag the relationship down that's a soulmate into something else, mediocre or toxic, or they run away from it entirely. So one of the lessons we have to learn is that if we're given a soulmate love, it means evolving. And Kim, even though you had a soulmate relationship that didn't work out, I feel that you've really evolved as a human being. Do you feel that way too?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about how you've evolved, Kim.
Well, you're having a bad day. You're not evolved today. Is that
well,
the joke here? That's okay. We
well, you know, sometimes you take five steps forward and you take a step back.
Absolutely.
So, yes, because Kim went out on a date this week, Cindy. That's really what I'm getting at here.
Oh, a new guy?
Yes. We'll call him Mr. X.
Okay, Mr. X. And can you tell us a little bit how you met Mr. X?
Well, we met at the golf course.
That day that we said that you were going to maybe meet somebody or something?
Yeah, I thought it would be, you know, just friends.
You lie!
So, I agreed to spend some more time with him out in his lovely home out east. And as just friends.
You are such a liar.
And maybe my intentions weren't in the right spot. But God has
well, if I remember correctly, you were very horny last week.
As opposed to any other week.
People are listening to our show, so I mean, they're going to call up and start calling in this or, you know, chat to us in the chat box. So, okay, you did go with an intention to maybe have sex. So I'm throwing that in there.
Well, you know, at Woodbury Country Club, I don't think anybody's having sex there. There's too many sticks up people's asses. But seriously, you know, me looking around, you know, I don't really blend well there anyway, but
What country club was it?
Woodbury Country Club.
Okay, it's funny because as a belly dancer, sometimes I'd be asked to go to country clubs like someone would deliver me as a present. And you know how many times I was paid not to dance?
Yeah, I don't think
I could see that.
And belly dancing is tasteful. And I say, but you don't understand. This gift was sent from somebody in Florida to this person. I mean, what am I going to tell them? You know, I mean, they expect me to dance.
They wouldn't allow that there, actually.
No.
They didn't really appreciate my sense of humor. But anyway.
So you met this guy on the golf course itself?
And then you know, I agreed to, you know, spend some more time with him. And
why?
Well, it's relevant, the reason why.
Why?
My funny part of the story is as I was, you know, floating around the pool and stuff, talking to him.
Were you in a bathing suit?
And I was in a bathing suit.
Was it too hot for the club? Were you in
No. Here's the city.
No, it was at his house out east. It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
So you went to, okay, so this was not at the country club.
Cindy, here's the thing. This is why this is perfect that we're doing karmic lessons for Kim, because I told Kim from the start not to go out with this person because she said, oh, well, he's nice and he's got a lot of money and he would be like, he's funny and I know that there's no physical attraction with him whatsoever. So I know that I'm not going to fall in love, but I'll go out with him anyway. So I said, well, Kim, that's not the reason to go out with somebody. And then she just was absolutely resistant to that idea. And then she shows up. And she's looking the way that Kim generally looks. And then she goes out with him again, and she's walking around in her teeny-eeny little bathing suit and then wearing an extremely low-cut top. And then she's surprised that the guy's looking at her like she's a lamb chop. I mean, all she needed was a mint leaf, and it would have been done.
Well, my sign, which I was, you know, I always look for signs. Everybody knows that. And I was telling him about, you know, I'm always looking for signs. And he's like, you always looking for signs, huh? I said, yeah. He's like, well, look up in the sky. And up in the sky was this perfectly formed cloud that was in a heart.
Wow.
And I was like, uh-oh.
Wow.
There's my sign. We left about an hour later, so. No, we did not have sex.
Okay, well, yesterday I was watching Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know that one?
Oh, that is so awesome.
Okay, and, you know, she was after trying to marry Rich Guy. Remember, that's the whole premise of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sort of reinventing herself and sort of hanging around with these snooty people or whatever. And I think, you know, maybe it was a little bit of that yesterday. And even though his money, I don't think that this was the right guy for you.
No.
No.
Besides the fact that he does have a roommate for 27 years, that didn't help. But they have an understanding. She doesn't know about it, but.
Oh, well, that's about size.
But he's getting divorced in 3 years, almost to the day. So.
Yeah. He's been saying that for the last 27 years, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, what's going on here, every relationship, whether it lasts a minute or a year, teaches us something. Can you tell us what you think God wanted you to learn from this?
What Kim learned or what God wanted me to learn?
It could be either one. I mean...
What Kim learned is I definitely have to have a physical attraction for somebody. It doesn't really matter how much money you have. And I don't want to be somebody's trophy anyway, but... I don't know. I guess the little sign I got from God was just continue on thinking about love. And
I think, you know, the heart meant follow your heart. And if you were to follow your heart, you wouldn't have been with this guy.
Yeah, probably. Well, I thought we could be just friends.
Do you lie?
No, not walking around dressed like that. No.
We were at a pool.
Well, anyway, so you learned something. You also learned a little bit more about you. I think you learned that you want something more than just a man that's going to be someone who could provide for you or give you money. You also need a soulmate, and this guy doesn't seem like he was going to be that.
No, he knew what it was going to be. If it was going to be anything, it was going to be exactly what we all thought it was. So.
Okay, one of the lessons that we can also learn when we're in a relationship is the second karmic principle. We're asked to tell our mates in a clear, calm, honest manner what we need. What we say in anger, screaming, and shouting doesn't count. I think that's an important lesson to learn when you're in a relationship, because what I've done, like, so many readings in the last month in which I'm dealing with couples now. I do a lot of couple counseling. And the way that the couples talk to each other is so mean and so yelling and so nasty. And what I tell them is, you have a best friend. How do you talk to your best friend, your best soulmate friend? You certainly don't bitch and moan and scream and berate them and judge them and be ugly to them, or they wouldn't be your best friend. So I think one of the lessons we need to learn in romantic relationships are that we have to see our mates as friends and treat them as such. You think that's a good lesson to learn?
Of course.
I mean, because it's so fundamental, and as easy as it might seem, like, to tell somebody that, they still don't get it. You know, we seem to have learned a lot of dysfunction, that romantic relationships mean we could be the worst that we want to be. And again, that would be a cellmate relationship or a razor's edge mate, a mediocre love. So if you want a higher love, you're going to have to start behaving in a way that makes someone want to be with you, because you are really being the best person you can. And another lesson we can learn in relationships is to demonstrate through words and deeds our intention to work on the relationship. Now, you were with that man. He's been living with that woman for 27 years. Do you think his words and deeds were demonstrating he wants to work on that relationship?
I think when he writes the big check at the end of the day, that's enough.
Because, his words and deeds are kind of saying, I'm not really into that relationship, and I'm a committed commitment phobic. I've got one foot.
No, what I heard was he has a sense of entitlement, because he does make money. He should be able to be with a beautiful woman.
Okay.
Guys convince themselves of this. I don't know what it's about.
Well, that's been thinking that women are property or something they can own or buy, and I think that's not a lesson we want people to learn. Women are not your property. They don't own you. You know, we're not owned, and you can't really be bought, but I'm sure, you know, the whole movie Breakfast at Tiffany's was women who wanted to be bought. I mean, they did want to be these properties of rich men. And I think that's been in the collective unconscious of women for a long time, that, you know, if they were going to have a business arrangement and marriages were business arrangement, why not make the best business arrangement you could? why not marry the richest one? If you're not going to marry out of love anyway, why not get the one with the biggest wallet? But hopefully we're emerging from that kind of thinking, because, again, that's not going to bring us a soulmate relationship. That's going to bring us sort of a mediocre sitcom marriage. That's a business arrangement. So the lessons that we have to learn are many. And another, the fourth karmic principle is our mates are under karmic obligation to hear and evaluate what we have to say, and we're under karmic obligation to do the same for them. I think most of us haven't learned that in relationships. We're not really listening when our mates talk to us. That isn't a lesson we've learned, especially now with all the distractions. People have iPods in their ears, or they've got, you know, their retinas attached to their Blackberries, you know, and they're text messaging, or they're watching TV, or doing a thousand other distractions.
You know, it's funny you should bring that point across, Cindy, because as we've been doing the show since, I believe, January, I've met a lot of people along the way, and I have this one little thing. If you listen to the radio show, you're interested. And I would say, out of the, I don't know, however many people that I've contacted and, you know, said, listen to the radio show. If you really want to know what I have to say, listen to the radio. If you're interested in me, listen to the radio. Very few.
Right, and that's a good, you know, a good thing to keep in mind, especially if you're a creative person. As a writer or someone who's into the arts or someone like us doing a radio show, whatever, if the person you're with isn't interested in what you've written or what you're doing, and they don't want to listen, especially to something as compelling as what your thoughts on love might be, you can know that they don't want a higher love. They really don't. Because that's what we're talking about. Why wouldn't you? If I was a man and I met Kim and I wanted to get to know her, I would listen to every one of these radio shows that are on here. I would want to hear what she thinks and what she feels and get to know her. So I think it's really important if, you know, you're claiming to like someone or love someone or want to be with them, why aren't you taking interest in what they're doing and listening?
The only way you're going to find out about somebody.
Right, and to be a good listener is extremely, difficult nowadays. Most people don't really listen.
My job has been to listen for many, many years, whether it be a hairdresser or working in a topless bar or whatever. I can honestly say very few people have listened to me.
I just said that the other day to myself. I said, isn't it funny? I listen all day to everyone. And, you know, when I was speaking to in the beauty parlor myself the other day, and the young girl was talking about her life, and she knows me from Tarot readings. She went on, and then finally she said, oh, my God, I haven't asked you how you are. Does anybody ever ask you how you are? Mm-hmm. And I said, very few people, you know. And I thought, sometimes I really want someone to listen to me as well, you know. And it's hard to find someone to listen, you know, that's really going to sit there and hear what you
have. I am very fortunate. I have a handful of people that do listen.
Me too. I mean, I have wonderful friends. The problem is I'm oftentimes so busy that I haven't been able to talk with them. And I'm missing that. You know, I'm missing somebody listening. So I think if you have good friends who listen, it's a good thing to keep in contact with them, because the way your friends listen and you listen to your friends is the way you should listen to your lovers. And when they have something to say, not discount it. A lot of times our lovers discount what we say. We'll say, you know, something we'll say, that's not true. What are you talking about? That's not what happened. You know, you're crazy. You're making it up. So to listen and, you know, to really evaluate what someone's saying and is very important. Like I even said to TJ yesterday, you know, you don't listen very well to me. So today he came home and he said, I'm sitting down and I'm talking to you. I don't want to be one of those men who doesn't listen. What do you have on your mind? And I thought,
oh God.
Ah, he heard the message. You know, and he said this, and I'll quote him. You know, a lot of the married women that I've slept with, they said they slept with me because their husbands don't listen to them. I don't want to be one of those guys that I don't listen to you. So... So, you know, I think we do have to tell people if we think they're not listening or they're not focusing. Because I think if we tell it in the beginning or the first time it begins to happen, we catch ourselves. And that's a difference. And also before leaving a relationship, this is the fifth karmic principle. We're under karmic obligation to put into practice the first four karmic principles. So if you're in a relationship that you want to leave, I think you need to first figure out, did I learn the right lessons? Did I behave correctly? You know, I have a couple right now who are fighting quite a lot, and they don't know if their marriage is going to work or not. And I keep saying, you know, you could just switch partners, both of you, but you're going to just have the same marriage with somebody else. The other person that you're going to be with is going to push the same buttons. You have to deal with why people can push so many of your buttons. So you might as well try and learn with each other before you walk away. Because if we don't learn the lessons in the relationship we're in, we're just going to revisit them again and be disappointed again. That's what seems to happen. We just keep getting the lessons and lessons until we finally get them. So that's why in between relationships, if you do take a little time to figure out what was I supposed to learn in this relationship, what was I supposed to learn in leaving the relationship, what was I supposed to learn in it coming to me, you'll at least break away from some of those patterns of behavior. And that's a really, really important thing to learn, that we have a lot of lessons to learn, but let's not keep learning the same ones over and over again. Kim, do you have any lessons that you learned from the ending of your last relationship?
Yeah.
The last meaningful one. One that you would like to share.
One that I would like to share. I guess don't go out with married men, but I think they keep doing that.
Okay, that's a very basic one, and again, I will tell people that oftentimes if you're a closet commitment phobic, you will pick married people or a person living with somebody already involved because you really don't want to be intimate, and you know, well, look, if they're already with somebody else, they're probably not going to end that relationship. Or they mean, I don't think that was the way you thought, but a lot of people, when they continually keep going out with married men or married women, that's really what they're thinking. I don't have to commit to this person won't commit to me. Is there any other lesson you learned that's important?
You know, why don't you ask Nicole that question?
Okay, I'll tell you what Kim learned. That's fine by me. See, Kim is afraid to answer right now because she knows that the kind of mood that I'm in, anything that she says, she's getting thrown under the bus for.
I can hear that. And actually, I think that's good. It's not having to me.
See, nobody can call Kim out on her crap except for me.
No, I mean, when you say learn something, I mean, yeah, I learned about myself. I mean, I know exactly what I want. That's the bottom line. I know what I want.
Also learn that you can't control somebody else? You can't.
Of course.
You can't
make
somebody
do
something they don't want to do. I mean, that's an important lesson that some people think, well, you know, he's married, but I'm going to make him fall in love with him, and then he'll leave his wife for me because I can make
I never thought that.
No, but you'd be surprised how many women do think that. Then they're shocked when it doesn't occur. You know, that, you know, their little plan sort of backfired on them.
Yeah,
so,
nothing shocks me, Cindy. I wasn't shocked. I was just hurt.
All right. Now, if you were to say what was the most important thing that you learned, is there something that you could share with?
I learned how to love unconditionally.
Yes, you did. That's what I was waiting for you to say.
Yes, absolutely.
And you learned to love without worry about outcome. You went on loving, and even when you weren't sure what would happen, you just really, really did.
Well, he's a lovable guy. What could I tell you?
And in learning to love unconditionally, has it helped you in all your other relationships with your friends, with your children?
I think that I had all those things, you know, in place anyway. So I love my children more than life unconditionally. And my friends, you know what, people are people, and I love them regardless of, you know, the people and the choices they make or whatever. I love them, so yeah, I guess so. But I loved them before that, so.
Nicole, did you learn anything from the ending of your relationship, your main relationship?
Oh, yeah. That's
never to go out with a married woman!
You know,
anything
sometimes I don't
that?
Like you.
Anything besides that?
Yeah, I think that I definitely learned that, you know, I guess for me that I really need to learn how to speak up before things get really, really out of hand, you know, because in that relationship I tend to be very much of a bottler of my feelings. you know, and, you know, I always kept what I was thinking, what I was feeling inside. And, you know, I mean, I had this incessant fear to tell, you know, to tell my ex, you know, like what my needs were, what my wants were. And it was almost like I was expecting them to know telepathically, and then I would be mad when they didn't respond to, you know, what I'd never let them know in the first place.
So communication, you would say.
And also to not expect your lover to be your mind reader.
Exactly.
You know, and that's a big one. But if we're going to figure out some of the karmic lessons that we're here on Earth to learn, that's on page 194 of the book. The first one is we're here to learn compassion, unconditional love, forgiveness, patience, endurance, trust, hope, and faith. And I think that Kim has learned to be more compassionate after the ending of her relationship.
Oh,
you did mention
yes.
the unconditional love.
Compassion and empathy.
And you've learned to be forgiving.
Yes.
You learned patience because you've
I'm
had to
I'm still learning.
Okay.
She's still learning on patience.
Patience is one of those things that, you know, we have to have patience with because it might take us a long time to learn to be patient. You've learned to endure. You've learned endurance. You endured something that I wasn't so sure you thought you could endure. And you've learned to be strong and persevere through this. You've learned to still be trustful. I think you're hopeful for the future. I think it brought it closer to your faith. And so let's go over those again. You have to learn compassion, unconditional love, forgiveness, patience, endurance, trust, hope, and faith. Once we've learned the lessons in endurance and perseverance and fortitude, God won't give us those lessons again. So we might as well carry the cross that God gives us and carry it well and carry it with grace, carry it with a sense of humor and with hope for the future, because there's only so many lessons in endurance. And after that, life will be easier. The wheel of fortune will start spinning in which you won't be expected to endure great obstacles anymore. So I think that's an important lesson. You know, there's only so many lessons in endurance. We're here to learn that the world is an abundant place. Now, in this economic times, I don't think there's anything better we can learn. The world's an abundant place. We're here to learn that. And I see a lot of marriages falling apart right now because they're really strained economically. You know, they're losing faith. You know, one or both partners are not working or having trouble finding work. And again, this is a new millennium and we have to reinvent ourselves. If one job isn't making money, we have to reinvent ourselves and get another one and try something else. So the world being an abundant place is an important one. You think that's an important lesson? Have you guys learned that?
Yes, but you also have to be grateful for things that you have, not necessarily materialistically. So you can have an abundant amount of love without money
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
So.
It's an abundant place, love-wise, friendship-wise, compassion-wise. I mean, in every way, the world is full of abundance. And that's a very important lesson.
And I think people are too focused on complaining about what they don't have, and they don't really see what they do have.
Right. And an attitude of gratitude will bring more abundance to us in the laws of attraction, that's for sure. So in a love relationship, if you're going through some economic strain, try to come back to that place of abundance. Concentrate on things you do have. Concentrate on finding fun ways to have, you know, nice ways to have fun that don't cost a lot of money. You know, put yourself, you know, come together during this time rather than go apart. Work together and share your fears, but not in an unkind way. I think as a child, I watched my parents' marriage fall apart over money issues, and it was very painful to watch. And the consequence of that is that my three brothers have really a lot of trouble with the money, you know, whether making it or not making it or whatever. It's been a major issue in their lives. So I think if you have children, you have to try to teach them that the world's an abundant place. Shelter them a little bit from your economic worries, but not make it so that, you know, of course, they're buying everything they want. I mean, they have to understand the value of a dollar. But it's important not to get children so upset about money, because it's really not a good feeling as a kid to worry, oh, my God, are we going to be, like, have a house over our head? I mean, I'll do tarot card readings for 10-year-old kids, and they'll ask me, are my mommy and daddy going to lose their house? You know, that's sad to hear, you know? So, again, we do have a caller, I think. Do you see that? a 111 number, which is a computer number, I think.
Oh, okay. Hold on. No, it didn't pop up here. Oh, wait. There it is. Just popped up now. Hold on. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My friend's going through a relationship with a married man right now. And I believe he is lying to her. He tells her that he loves her, but he's still in love with his wife.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, she's really, really disturbed about it.
Can you just step away from your computer just a little bit?
Really, really disturbed about it, and she needs help, you know. It's such a bad, you know, looking at her going through day-to-day problems.
And again, it's the I want my cake and eat it too. The husband is what I would call a committed commitment phobic. He's not committed heart, soul, mind, and body to his marriage. And he's not committed heart, soul, mind, and body to this other woman. He's got one foot in his marriage and one foot with this other woman. And what God would ask him is to do right by one of these women. It would be then doing right by both of these women. You know, this kind of men can have their cake and eat it too is got to change and it has to end. And, you know, usually love always comes from God. So I would venture to say his marriage is probably not a very good one, or this other woman wouldn't have been brought into his circle to love. But, you know, as your friend, the only advice you could probably give her is to say, she has to be the one being strong enough to walk away and say, you know, if you're choosing your wife, then I'm out of here, because it does affect us biologically. We get sick, we get migraines, we get ulcers, we get breast cancer, we get diseases when we do things that are not of integrity. And any person carrying on a long-term affair is going to find themselves with some chronic disease they can't seem to cure. How long has this relationship been going on? Do you know?
Maybe a little bit, close to 1 year. And it's hard for her because this is the person she wants to be with. And he just tells her a bunch of lies. You know, he's not being truthful.
Well, again, your friend is probably an older soul, and older souls have a couple of fatal flaws. One, they don't see evil. So someone can lie right to our faces, and we don't want to hear it. We don't believe it. So she's guilty of that. Their old souls are also loyal to a fault. So she's being loyal to a man who doesn't deserve her loyalty. She also probably thinks she's going to rescue him from this distressful marriage, and old souls become rescuers. And old souls also make too many excuses for people's abuse. And he's being abusive to her by doing this. And so these are things that she's going to have to examine. Is she being loyal to a man who doesn't deserve her loyalty? Is she refusing to see evil because she doesn't want to see it? And it usually will be only herself who will wake up. And I'm going to turn this one over to Kim.
Oh,
I
knew
anyone,
you would.
I knew that was coming.
I don't think anyone, you know, I think you were faced at these crossroads too.
Yes, I was in pretty much the same boat with a man that I very much loved. I do believe we both loved each other. But, yes, he did lie to me, and he was lying to me, and he was lying to her. And it's, you know, I mean, I probably would have continued on the relationship if he was desiring to do so. But in the end, that wasn't his desire, so I had to leave that up to God, you know, and say that there's got to be something better out there. And when you come to the point where you do say, there's got to be something better out there, and you are a better person than that. You know what? I mean, it's a very difficult thing to tell somebody, and nobody was going to tell me anything different than what I felt. And
yeah,
only
so
it was only my reality, you know. My reality was totally different from his. It still is, but I can't help the way I feel, just as your friend can't help the way. You just don't have a switch in your head that says, that's it, it's done, I'm done, I can't take this garbage anymore. But in time, mm-hmm. you know, somebody will come along, you know what I mean, that will give her everything that she wants, but she has to know that she deserves it as well. But you're never going to tell her not to feel something she feels or, you know, that he's lying. Because when you do love somebody, you don't want to believe that they're lying to you because you hope that they're reciprocating the same feelings.
Right, and that's exactly the point. And what you can be is a good listener to your friend. You can, you know, be there for her, help her open her eyes a little bit. But, you know, just that you're being there for her is important, but she's probably going to have to find this out for herself, that even if this man were to leave his wife, doesn't necessarily mean he would commit to her anyway. Or she might be the, you know, if he were to marry her, she might be the wife that he's cheating on with somebody else. Because there are just certain people who just can't commit. How long is
you know, and Cindy, when I would tell people about the relationship, I would say, and this is my personal experience, you weren't there. Only those two people are there at that moment in time. And it's not necessarily what he's saying isn't what he really believes. It's just when he goes back home, it's something else. And he goes back into his little world and his little reality. Doesn't mean he doesn't love her. It doesn't mean that she doesn't love him, because only those two people are there in their reality at that moment. So, I mean, my best advice is just be supportive and encouraging of whatever decision that she makes at that moment. Because, you know, when you tell somebody not to do something, you're really trying to control them anyway. You know, and it doesn't change the way they feel.
That's true. And how long has this man been married? Do you know, by any chance?
For a long time. I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time. But he's been telling her he loves her, and I'm seeing my friend go through torment, you know, with all of this, and listening to his, you know, his I love you, I'll be there for you, and nothing's happening. I hurt for her because she's my friend, you know, and you know, I think he should be a better person, you know. I mean, if you're going to stay with your wife, then you shouldn't have started this, you know. You shouldn't have go out there looking for someone else to hurt, you know.
Well, nobody intentionally goes out to looking for hurt somebody. That's, you know, people just kind of, they get drawn and attracted to each other. It's a lack of self-control, of course. I mean, I was guilty of it as well. But you go into it for the excitement, for the fun and all that, and all this love comes up, and then, you know, then it's almost like, oh, my God, it hits you like a ton of bricks. What do
well,
I
Kim,
do from here?
Well, Kim, I was, well, in a way, I'm kind of in her position, because when you were going through what you were going through, I was the friend that was hurting for you when, you know, when things started to sour out in your last relationship. So my best advice, I think that Cindy and Kim are both right, you need to be supportive. But at the same time, I practiced a little bit of tougher love with Kim, where I just had to keep saying that, you know what, actions speak louder than words, and I had to keep reminding her of that. Well, you know what, this guy is not really treating you, you know, the way that he's saying he's, you know, he feels about you, you know. And what it came down to was that his actions were, you know, minuscule, and his words were the world. So, and eventually what happened with, you know, when I was having conversations with Kim when she was in your friend's position, it wound up coming out to balance, you know, out a little bit. And then Kim started to draw her own conclusions about this man. And, you know, to this day, I'll never say anything negative about him, because there were positive things that happened in Kim as a result of that particular relationship. And no, I did not like seeing her go through that extent of pain and that extent of heartbreak, because she really was heartbroken, you know, and it really did bother her that, you know, she could not be his one and only the way that she wanted him to be her one and only. But when push came to shove, through many conversations and many nights of me sitting with Kim and telling her how all right things were going to be, it all came down to, Kim, when somebody loves you, they show you. And not that he doesn't love you, but he's not showing you any love right now because of what he's doing, and that's what you have to go off of. And so, you know, my best advice is to just encourage her
to, you know, keep the good memories that she has with this man, hold on to everything that's good about it, and just like with everything else, let the bad just dissipate into the air and just let go of it. You know, nobody was going to tell Kim not to feel for this man except for Kim. Nobody but Kim was going to change her mind, you know. But me, as Kim's friend, I had to point out where some shortcomings were, but I had to be supportive with it at the same time, because like Kim said, when you're in love with somebody, you don't want to hear anything bad about them. But if you're stating the truth and you're just saying, yes, well, he's saying that he loves you, but he's not doing this. You know, he's saying that he loves you and he wants to see you, but he's not calling you. He's saying that he wants to be with you and that he misses you, but he ignores you for weeks at a time. His actions were speaking louder than his words, and that's the bottom line of it.
Right. And again, your friend has lessons to learn in getting involved in this kind of relationship. She may have her own commitment issues, so she's chosen someone who can't commit to her. She may be very, very well terrified of commitment. Has she ever been in a relationship that was committed before? How old is this woman, by the way, your friend?
45.
Okay, so she's a grown woman. Has she ever been married before herself?
Yes, she has been married and divorced.
Okay, and, you know, it's possible she may be afraid of committing to him as well. I mean, she might have her own issues. And there are lessons for her to learn in this. For one, to open our eyes and realize that people do lie to us. They don't tell us the truth. For us to realize that love is not a compromise, and she's really compromising her core values by being involved with him. And that she's, you know, probably, what I would tell her if she were my client is you've got to make a contract with yourself for the next 3 months to see what he's actually going to do. And if in that three-month period he doesn't come round to be serious about leaving his wife, then, you know, she has to be serious that she's going to end this. It can't go on forever, because doing nothing is negative karma, and this can go on forever. I mean, this man probably wants to have this long-term affair with her and stay married, and that's not a very healthy thing for her. So, again, you as a friend can be there for her, but you're not going to carry her cross or learn her lessons. She's going to have to learn them for herself. And some of them are going to be very painful. You know, absolutely painful. So, you know, I'm just curious if, did you tell her you were going to call here and try to get some advice for her?
No, I happened to just stumble over your website, so I decided to call, seeking some kind of advice so that I can give to her, because as a friend, being concerned, knowing this person and knowing that she's honest, you know, she's not doing wrong. She goes out, you know, she knows she's in love with him, but she's looking more for a relationship and maybe a marriage at some point in her life, you know. And she's not getting, you know, she gets the, I love you, don't go out with anybody, don't see anybody, you know. The other person's controlling.
And he's telling her not to see anybody else?
Right.
Now you see, that's, again, he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants to be with his wife, sleeping with her perhaps, being with her. But he expects this woman to be loyal to her. That's the old archetype in which men have been masters over women who are their slaves. They believed that they could do whatever they wanted. And certain cultures, Latino cultures, Italian cultures, you know, the very patriarchal cultures, the men have done this historically. They've always cheated on the women, but they would really be mad if the woman did anything. I mean, they're almost pathologically jealous. And so this shows that she's got some lessons to learn, that men don't own women, and that, you know, soulmate love is two equals. And, you know, to tell her not to see someone else when he's married is really, you know, the
very greedy and selfish.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't want her, but he doesn't want to lose her either. So, again, it shows some unhealthiness in her, or some unhealed issues in her, that she's tolerant of this. and, you know, that she's obeying him, you know, that she's not seeing anybody else. And again, these are some things that all women have to work out. It is in our collective unconscious that men have historically gotten away with cheating. And I have many, many clients, very bright women who, you know, just turn their back on the fact that their husbands are cheating on them. And even though they've seen cell phones and text messages, and I always say this, are you going to wait till he brings you AIDS or herpes before you open your eyes? I had a very sad, you know, thing happen. A girl came to me, a young girl, 37 years old, and she was living with a guy when she was 22. And he lied to her constantly, and she's an old soul, and she didn't see that he was lying and cheating on her. But he was cheating on her with other men, and he brought her the HIV virus. And he ended up dying of AIDS. And that, you know, she didn't wake up soon enough, fast enough, although there was all kinds of evidence, because she was not wanting to see, you know, it was with men, she didn't want to see that, you know, she just thought they were his friends or this or that or the other thing. But her hiding her head in the sand and not seeing that this man was cheating on her has really affected her life, you know, and impacted her in a way in which she hasn't had a relationship, and she just started going these HIV hotlines to find somebody. And of course, a lot of the men on those websites are sex addicts, and, you know, this has been horrible for her. So again, you know, for men to tell women that they shouldn't, you know, be with anybody else but they're with other people is something that's really, you know, a terrible thing. So, I mean, I just think she has some issues that she has to resolve. What nationality is she? Do you know?
She is Irish.
Irish, okay. You know, I'm not sure if maybe in her family the men have cheated on the women, and this is something that was acceptable. You know, if we've seen it in our culture, then we kind of accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So these are lessons she's going to learn, and they're hard ones to learn. Very hard ones to learn, but you're there for her, and the best advice you can give her is to open her eyes that this man may not be playing fair with her, may not have her best interest at heart. And that,
well, I think another thing that you could also do, aside from just reassuring her that through thick and thin you're going to be there for her and you're going to support whatever decision that she makes, another important point to bring to her, just like Cindy said before, is that sometimes you need to love somebody enough to let them go. And if this man has no intention of leaving his wife and he truly loves her, he will let her go because he'll want to see her happy as his end-all, be-all to anything else, whether it means him not having her in his life or not. If he loves her that much, and he loves her the way that I'm sure that he's saying he loves her, then he'll love her enough to want her to be happy at any expense, even if it's the expense of him not being in her life. And you need to remind her of that point, and you need to say to her, well, I understand that he loves you, and I understand that you love him, but if he loves you that much, and he's not going to ever be with you as his main full-time relationship, then he needs to love you enough to let you go. Otherwise, it's conditional love.
Right. And again, this is something that may take her a while to learn, but if you're there for her, she will learn. And, you know, sometimes she has to kind of envision what it might be like for his wife or to be his wife and be the one that's being cheated on, and sort of walk a mile in his wife's shoes. You know, sometimes these men are saying, well, my wife is, she's not nice, she's mean, she's this or that. And, you know, it's funny enough because I've been put in a situation where I've met the mistress and the wife, both who are decent people. And so, you know, even if he were to meet his wife, you know, if she were to meet his wife, she might find that she liked this woman. Maybe this woman is a really nice person. Maybe she is someone that she could like. And
but I don't suggest telling her to knock on the door or anything.
No, but,
no.
But I'm saying to walk like a mile in this woman's shoes, and that this man probably is never going to be able to commit to anybody fully, because, you know, love always comes from God, and if he's married and it's just a business arrangement, then God brought him this soulmate to teach him to end his marriage in a karmically correct manner and go toward his soulmate. And if he's not doing that, then this is no longer a soulmate. It's now becoming a toxic soulmate love. It moves down the ladder of love. This, you know, this is not going to be soulmate love because she's going to start feeling angry and bitter, and it's just going to get really messy. So, again, basically she's there to, you know, to learn these lessons, and you can't teach them for her, but you can point them out for her. And you
sure.
might want to recommend the book, Grant Me a Higher Love. It does kind of get us to figure out why we're staying in a relationship out of love or out of fear. She might just fear abandonment and fear being on her alone so much that, you know, when she tries to leave him, she might get massive anxiety. But it's not necessarily because he's the right guy for her. It might be that she never mourned the loss of her own marriage or someone she loved that passed away, and so she can't walk away. And in the book, we try to figure out why you might be staying in a toxic relationship or an unhealthy relationship. And we're glad you called me. Thank you for sharing that with us. And we have about 9 minutes left, and I'd like to go over some of the other lessons we might be here on Earth to learn. We're learning to be non-judgmental, and that's important because we just heard someone having an affair, and hopefully we're not judging it. We're just observing it. We're there, but we're not wanting in any way to come across judgmental at all. And we're here to learn that we're spiritual beings living in a temporal body. Our bodies are a temporary thing, but our spirit will go on forever. That's an important lesson. Kim and Nicole, I've noticed that both of you have become much more spiritual in the last year. You're starting to really feel that spirit inside of you?
Yeah, I think we're both really focused on just being better people and giving back to our community and the people we know. And it really helps us in return. The level of spirituality is different for us, you know, as individuals, but it's been very enlightening, so to speak.
We'll also learn that the good powers of the universe are greater than the evil ones. That's a big lesson. I mean, sometimes we see so many things going on around us but that are not right or wrong, but if we harness those good powers and we all get together, we're really going to overcome a lot of the things that are in this culture, like the amount of addiction that's around. And you know, I always use the example of heroin on Long Island. The good powers of the world are stronger than evil. We can really beat this heroin problem on Long Island if the good people will speak up and get together and prove that the good powers are stronger than the evil. We can't hide our head in the sand on that one. The big lesson is we'll learn to take responsibility for ourselves and for our actions. That's what having an affair with a married person is. We're responsible for our own actions. At what point do we step away from it and say, I can't change him, I can't make him do anything, but I can be responsible for my own actions. And I think Kim and Nicole are very, very good about taking responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah, because we're always calling each other out whenever we're trying to lie.
Well, you got to have a sense of humor, too. So.
Whatever.
Every time I try to lie to myself, there she is.
And we'll also learn courage and to be kind, fair, and just. Sometimes people can't leave toxic relationships because they have so much fear and they can't muster up the courage to walk out the door. You know, we all have fear, but it is courage. We need to learn to be courageous. Children are very courageous. I always give the example of babies. They fall thousands of times on their way to walking. If we as grown-ups had to learn to walk, we'd all be in wheelchairs right now because none of us would have the courage to fall more than 4 or 5 times. And the hell with that. I'm not getting bruised again. I'm not banging my head. So children start out very courageous. We lose some of that courage. So we have to get back to learning courage. And we'll also learn to care for our bodies diligently, for we've discovered that our physical bodies are the holy temples which house our souls. Both Kim and Nicole have learned that, right? You're both, you know, been in recovery for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You learn not to treat your bodies like anything but a temple.
It was actually 16 years last week.
Okay, so that's a wonderful mark, and it was you wanting to care for your body. I'm sure that came into play.
My body, my spirit, everything.
Right. I mean, that's a very important message. We'll learn to be disciplined beings. We have to learn to be disciplined. We have to work hard. We have to have goals, set goals that we move forward to do. We have to be disciplined in our diet and in our spending. You know, so many people are so undisciplined in their spending, and the economy got really off kilter because people rang up credit cards they simply cannot pay. So, you know, this economy should teach certain things, and one of them is practice some self-discipline. We'll learn to live and let live. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? Live and let live. That goes along with not being judgmental. You know, we have to be tolerant of people's idiosyncrasies, if that's what you think they are, or their different lifestyles, or their different religions, or whatever they're practicing. So that's a big one. We'll learn to live in peace, harmony, and joy. Oh, doesn't that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
To live in peace. We'll learn the difference between external power, money, status, and physical appearance. In other words, all the things that can be taken from us. And authentic power, the power that is generated within us from our heart, soul, and higher consciousness. So I think Kim had a little lesson in inauthentic power yesterday.
That's in the past.
Not a little lesson.
I just
Kim
love
got spanked by karma
it.
This week.
Okay, but that she learned. We learned to be generous and caring, and there are no two more generous and caring women on the planet than my co-hosts here. They've
Thank
learned
you.
That.
Thank you.
And they've learned to live in a state of gratitude, and both of them do that. We'll learn to be happy for the success of others. That's important. You know, oftentimes we feel jealousy or envy of other people, but we have to work on that. You know, the world's an abundant place. We can all be successful. I think it's a little harder when someone's successful in an endeavor that we might want to do. Sometimes we can feel that envy. So we have to work on that, you know, really being happy for the success of others. Big one is we'll learn how to commune telepathically with other earthbound spirits, with discarnate spirits, and with God. Are you guys working on your telepathy?
Yes.
Are you finding it's working? It's getting stronger?
It's pretty good.
It's getting better, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's a big one. We'll learn that God is love. God is not about fear. You know, I know Kim always talked about being raised with a stepfather who would, you know, boy, you get the fear of God living in that house. God isn't fear. God is love, pure love. That's it. Loves us, doesn't judge us. We'll learn that life is a gift. That can be a hard lesson if you've had a hard childhood. I know that's the big lesson for me. I'm not sure I'm fully comprehending that one yet. I believe it's a gift for everyone else. Sometimes I haven't felt that it's been a gift for me. And there's a little contradiction there. But, you know, that's what I'm trying to learn, that life is a gift. And it's a very important one to learn. We learn that we're all soulfully connected and that everything has a spirit. That's another big lesson. We learn to answer our unique calling, the big why. God, why was I born and what is it that you want me to do? I think we all struggle with that one at some point. We'll learn serenity. That's a big one. Peace and serenity. We're all praying for those things. And we'll learn that we've incarnated to overcome fear and that only love matters. So there's a lot of lessons we're here on Earth to learn. And if any of you want to send me emails, lessons you've learned, I'd love to hear from you. Again, we've got about 2 minutes left. I want to stress that Marianne Camerata will be on our show. And she's interviewed Thomas Moore, who wrote the book Soulmates. I love that book. She's interviewed Dr. John Gray, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. She's been on many major talk shows. Her book covers are right. It's called Hindsight, and she's got this woman's, like, lowering her panties. And it says, what you need to know before you drop your drawers. Talks about the tools you'll need to create lasting, healthy relationships, starting with your most important relationship, the one you have with yourself. The themes of the book are funny, thought-provoking, potentially life-changing, and in some cases, life-saving. And they're going to add these to you know, have on the show, and we're going to be discussing the book, and I hope you'll all call in and enjoy her. So any shout-outs here?
Quickly, I would like to tell Larry, thank you so much for this week. You will never know how much that meant to me. Larry had won a lottery this week and had sent me half the proceeds to buy the children's school clothes. So I thought that was very, very kind.
And generous.
And, yes, and very generous. And,
a little help from our friends.
Oh, boy. When you need it the most, God is there, you know. And to my other friend who sent me a beautiful print, signed print of two koi fish, which promotes prosperity. So I do appreciate that. And I love you all.
Nicole?
And I just want to shout out to my prophet, Dave, yet again, because
We have not been able to speak so much these days. I've been very, very busy. And yesterday, in all of my multitasking, I was just like, I had made a comment that breathing outside was like breathing underwater. And ironically enough, when I checked my email today, yesterday, Dave sent me an email reminding me to breathe and told me that basically a clear mind requires breath and that everything that I want to accomplish is going to be done in perfect timing. So, Dave, you read my mind yet again. Thank you very much, and I love you.
Okay, well, I'll see you next week, and we're looking forward to that show. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.